Acoustic Christian Assessment.
Well, good morning. We're going to continue our series on God's care, giving us resilience. And there are so many ways God gives us resilience and helps us be resilient, helps us bounce back from challenges and difficulties. And one of them is he gives us rest. Because we all know from a physical point of view, your body can take so much till you need to give it rest and need to let it recuperate. We know mentally we can only go so far pushing our brains to do things till we need to give it rest. And God helps us with this rest. He helps us get mental and spiritual recuperation from the challenges before us. He also gives us rest. We'll read records where he gives them rest from war. He gives them rest from famine. He gives them rest from mental stress. God helps us have rest in many categories of life, and we can't be resilient unless, with God's great care, we were able to have rest. So let's start in Exodus 33. Years ago, when I was working in Indiana, during our lunch break, we listened to a radio commentator named Paul Harvey. He always had these stories. I don't know if you guys have heard of him, but he'd tell some story, take a commercial break, and say, "And now the rest of the story." And you'd get the great punchline. Well, this isn't a Paul Harvey show. But we will learn about God's rest. It was pretty funny. Exodus 33, verse 11. "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. Thou hast also found grace in thy sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I shall give thee rest." See, Moses was a little worried about this job. How am I going to do it? Who's going to help me out? What's going to happen? And God said, My presence will go with you, and I shall give you rest. I don't know if you've ever worked on a project that was just killing you, but then somebody really smart and helpful showed up and sort of pitched in and did some of the parts that you couldn't do very well, and you got a little break. You got a little rest. We've all seen that happen in our lives. Well, what about if God's on your team? And he says, Don't worry, I'll go with you and I'll give you rest. I'll give you a break. I'll spell you. I'll fill in for you. I'll help things out. And verse 15, "And he said unto him," Moses said to God, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." You know, if you're not going to go with me, I don't want to go do this job. But God said he'd be there. My presence will be there and I'll give you rest. Great stuff. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Here's Asa. Here Asa comes. So Abijah, who was not the most godly guy, verse chapter 14 of 2 Chronicles. "So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet for 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God." So even though Abijah had done some things that were very ungodly, Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. "For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and brake down the images, and cut down the groves." These were all places where they worshipped false gods. "And he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandments. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had what? Rest. for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. And then it goes on and talk about all the things they did. But the point is, Asa focused on God and walking for God the best he could. And the result was God gave rest to the land and to Asa. Now they had rest from war and attack. There are different things in life we need rest from. Sometimes we need a break from traffic. Sometimes we need a break from people that are extremely annoying. Sometimes we need a break from too much work. A lot of different things in life people may need rest from, but whatever it is, God can give it to you. 2 Chronicles 20. We've often read the record about Jehoshaphat, where he gets attacked by three different armies, and they get together and they pray, and they march out to the battlefield singing hymns, and all the enemy soldiers are dead because they've all killed each other. And the conclusion of that record is 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 30. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. That's the reason he could have rest. That's the reason he could have a quiet time, was because God gave him rest round about. What a great thing. God gave Jehoshaphat rest round about. Psalm 37. Here we go. Psalm 37 and verse 7. Oh, let's back up a little bit. Let's go back to verse 1. We'll end up in verse 7, but let's get a running start, so to speak. Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. And that's a challenge, because we see people doing stuff that's just plain wrong, and we want to get upset about it, and we all do. But this says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Because if somebody is doing something bad around me getting angry about it, unless I can actually do something about it, is probably just a waste of my mental energy, as tempting as it is. For they, verse 2, shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. And instead, now look at this, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So we trust in the Lord, do good, and we'll get to dwell in the land and eat. Which, to us in our country, even on hurricane days, the idea of getting to live in your own house and eat breakfast doesn't seem like that big a deal. But in much of the biblical times, and many places today, there's so much war and turmoil, that to just get to live in your house and eat is a luxury. But if we trust in the Lord and do good, you'll dwell in the land and be fed. Now this next one, verse 4, is pretty remarkable. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Go the next step and get delighted in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And that's quite a verse. Because the heart's the innermost part of your being. A lot of people will read that and, you know, think about some physical thing or acquisition they want to get. But the desires of your heart are the innermost things in your heart, the stuff that really matters to you. And God can find ways to provide that for you that we haven't even thought of. So rather than get too focused on one thing in the physical world, how much greater to delight ourselves in the Lord, knowing that whatever it is deep in our hearts we need, he'll come through with. There's a great old book, I get us some copies of it, called Delighted in God, about a guy named George Mueller, who around the beginning of the, when was he, around 1880 or something like that, 1890, during the height of the Industrial Revolution in England, there were lots and lots of orphans on the street. Because a lot of the families would move in from the farm, and then the parents would go work in the factories, and either through black lung disease because of the burning coal, or through getting caught in machinery, a lot of the parents would get killed, and these orphans were just on the street, and there was absolutely no social network to take care of me. And today we have all kinds of child protective services and all kinds of things. And you can argue whether it's better or worse, but we have different things available now they didn't have there. Sir George Mueller just felt that God put it in his heart to set up an orphanage to take care of these kids. And he had a rule that he would never ask anybody for anything. He would only tell God what he wanted. Now, he did preach and talk to people about his orphanages, so they didn't know about it. He put out sort of an annual report letter. So it wasn't like he was being secretive about it. But what he didn't do was call around for fundraisers or have fundraising drives. He just told God what he needed. And stuff just showed up. You know, people would just show up with building materials. There was one morning where all the orphans, and I think there were like 100 of them, in the dining room, and they went down for breakfast, and there was no food in the kitchen. And somebody said, should we postpone breakfast? He says, no, breakfast is at 8 o'clock. We're going to sit down and have breakfast. And as the kids were marching in there, some guy drove up with a truck full of bread. He said, God woke me up in the middle of the night. And the guy owned a bakery. He said, God woke me up in the middle of the night, told me to make a bunch of bread and bring it over. And he did. The point of it is, and the theme of the book was that George Mueller was very delighted in God. He just loved to read the scriptures and pray and meditate on the word and tell God what he needed. And the great thing is he didn't know 90% of the things we know about God's word that we've been so blessed with. But the part he knew, he really believed. And we all have a long way to grow. When I hear that, I don't condemn myself or anybody else and say, gee, we got to be better believers like George Mueller. I don't do that. I just sort of take it as a vision, you know. That gives a great example that we can try to follow. We can try to turn everything in our hearts over to God, tell God what we need. And I often talk about not limiting God. And that's one of the great things about George Mueller. He didn't say, I want you to tell this guy to bring us this kind of bread, and I want it to be sesame seed bread. He just said, we need food for the orphans. And then God figured out who to call and what to tell him to bring. I mean, think of Elijah out in the wilderness. You know, God sent the ravens to feed him. I don't think Elijah could have thought to pray for ravens to feed him. He just did what God told him and knew God would come through for him. And that's the way things are in life. Sometimes it's a way we expect, sometimes it isn't. And either way is great. Anyway, let me get back to this. So, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The things you need deep down inside, he'll find a way to supply it. Maybe the way you expect, it may be something you've never thought of. Commit thy way unto the Lord. And this is the word for roll. Like, let's say you have a big old stone weighing you down. Roll it off of there onto something else. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Roll it over unto him. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Now look at this, verse 7. Rest in the Lord. It may not feel at times like we can relax because we have so much going on, but we need to rest in the Lord. We just need to take a deep breath, relax, and know God will be there for us. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And the rest in the Lord can also be translated to be still or silent before the Lord. Just be quiet. Hand everything over to him and relax. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the wicked man who bringeth, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. We just can't worry about people doing evil things. It just won't help us. We need to look to the Lord and trust that he'll take care of us. And that word wait, as you know, is usually the word meaning meaning to wait with expectation, to where we're expecting the Lord to be there for us. Great stuff. Isaiah 28. Here this talks a little bit about the importance of speaking in tongues. Isaiah 28. in verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. And this is a prophecy about speaking in tongues, which came available on the day of Pentecost, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith, this is the rest wherewith he may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. So being able to speak in tongues, being able to pray and turn everything over to God, leads to great rest. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. I think it quotes this same verse. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 21. Yeah, this is definitely in the context of speaking in tongues. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. So that's one of the ways we get rest now that we're born again and have the gift of Holy Spirit and can speak in tongues. That's one of the ways we have rest. Now let's see. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 30. There's a great little record here in Isaiah 30. By the way, I haven't really taught much on speaking in tongues for a while. If any of you are interested in learning more about that, happy to include that in the teachings. There's a class on the website called, what do we call that introductory class? It's been a while since I taught it. I can't think of the latest name we gave it. Introduction to God's Word or Living God's Word. It might be called Living God's Word. I think you call it the featured class on there. Living God's Words. Okay, that's what it's called. Living God's Word. And the basic one is Living God's Word and Introduction to the Scriptures. Yeah, so if any of you would like some more teaching on speaking in tongues and you want to do some self-study, you can listen to Living God's Word and Introduction to the Scriptures. If you'd like us to cover in fellowship or have a live class, just say the word. But it's all available. But speaking in tongues is a great way to have rest in your life. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. They get everybody's advice, but not God's. And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Woe to those, verse 2, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. So there were a lot of the folks who were supposed to look to God, but instead they thought the Egyptians could help them. Therefore, verse 3, shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be any help nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. Verse 6. The burden of the beasts of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper and the fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels, to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for time to come forever and ever. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, those are the prophets, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. So they're telling the prophets, don't tell us that bad news from God, that everything's going to go bad. Give us good news. Give us smiley faces. We don't want to hear what God has to say. The party's still going on and we're fine. That's pretty funny. Verse 12. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, the word of the Lord, and trust in oppression and perverseness, crookedness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity, this sin shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a mighty wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly and at an instant. Like we're in the middle of a lot of floods a few states south of us. Picture a dam that has a little too much stress on it, and you see the wall start to buckle a little bit. And then all of a sudden, whoosh, the water gets through and collapses, and the town downstream is flooded. Well, that's what he said. You're turning away from me is like there's this wall in your city. It's just going. One day it'll be gone, and you'll be toast. So, interesting analogy. Verse 14, and he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel. Like a clay pot that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a shred to take, a pot shred is a little piece of a pot, to take fire from the hearth or to take water withal out of the pit. That's where the way they keep their fires going. They didn't have these little butane lighters or matchboxes we have. So when they finally got started a fire, they would take a piece of a broken pot. Picture the size of a soup bowl or something, or a little saucer, and they take some burning coals out of one fire, and take it over to the neighbors or out to wherever else they were doing a fire, put it down and use it to start a fire. And he said it's going to be such a mess there won't even be a pot sherd big enough to take some coals with or bring a little water. And pretty bad. Verse 15, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. Now looking at this. In returning and rest shall ye be saved. By returning to God and resting in his strength shall ye be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. You see, we all tend to want to run around and fix things and do stuff and talk to people, and there's nothing wrong with that. We should take initiative and do whatever it is we want to do. But in so many times in life, you've done what you can, and if you keep trying any further, it will just get more frustrating, and you'll get more confused and more negative and more distracted. We have a little saying, you do your best, and God will do the rest. And this verse sort of epitomizes that. Because these people had gotten in such a mess by turning away from God, and sometimes we get in messes just by getting too fixated on a problem before us. But here's the answer. In returning and rest, return to God and rest in his strength, shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Your strength is not just running around talking to everybody and doing everything and working the problem. There's nothing wrong with that. But your real strength is in quietly and confidently asking God for help. But it says you would not. They didn't want that. They didn't want to turn everything over to God. They wanted to run off after false gods and ignore the prophets. Now, it's not that we're always running off after false gods, but the way we do is we tend to get distracted by all the challenges in the world, and we all have plenty of them. Some days they're easy to deal with. Some days they seem impossible to deal with. But God always can help us. May not be the way we want to be helped, but he'll always find a way to help us. So let's read that verse again, verse 15 of Isaiah 30. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. Simply looking to God. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall ye flee. And we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. Well, I got to tell you, 1,000 of you shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon a mountain and as an ensign on a hill. So We know verses that say the opposite. When they were walking with God, it would say 1,000 shall fall on thy left and 10,000 on thy right, but won't come nigh you. In other words, no matter how bad things are, God will protect you. That was when they were walking with God and resting in God's strength. But when they weren't resting in God's strength, the opposite was true. One guy will say, boo, and 1,000 of you will run away. Five guys will say, boo, and 10,000 of you will run away. And so that's why we want to look to God and rest in his strength, rest in his love, rest in his ability to take care of us. Many times we're looking all over the place for rest and peace. And the only way place it really comes from is trusting God. Let's wrap this up with a verse in Matthew, if we might. Matthew 11. And verse 28. Jesus Christ, a very famous, well-known verse that Jesus Christ said. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, just burdened down with cares and worries, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. In other words, you know, do what I ask you to, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find what? Rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It is a little bit of work to focus on the scriptures and pray, but compared to everything else in the world, it's an easy yoke. It's an easy burden. And the result is you have rest to your souls because we turn to God. That's like a lot of things. Like, take cooking. You can spend hours and days with a French cookbook trying to get everything perfect and getting 83 ingredients all over town at 6 stores. And it can be a very nice meal. But then you get somebody like Mary Rose, who in 5 minutes can take 3 things without even measuring and throw it in, and you got a meal just as good and delightful without all that hassle. Both of them have a little burden. Both of them have a little work. But the way she does it is just so much easier. And Peter, I'm not picking on your great cuisine. I love it. It's just some ways are a little more involved. Some ways are quick and easy. And most things in life are like that. There's an easy way, and there's a more complicated way. And Jesus Christ is saying, my burden, my yoke is light. Yeah, sure, I got to read the Bible and I got to meditate on the scriptures and I got to pray, but then I have rest to my soul. I can run around and try to do everything myself and drive myself crazy and still not get the rest of my soul. So one of the ways we can have resilience, one of the ways we can enjoy God's care in our lives is knowing he gives us rest. So as you have challenges this week, which we all will, I just encourage you to turn them over to God. If there's something you can do, do it. But once you've done what you can, let go and let God. And just trust that he'll take care of you and rest in his great power, great strength, and great care for us. So Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you that we can pray for one another and trust you. Be delighted in you, see you give us the desires of our hearts, and see if us have great rest in our lives because we know you're there to strengthen us and help us. Thank you for this and your great love in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.